You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. With me is director and founder of Brenthurst Wealth, and that's Magnus Haystack. Magnus, a very interesting, very forthright, as usual, article penned by yourself in the Daily Investor with the title, A Mauritian Trust, the Ultimate Estate Planning Tool. Would you go back in this article to 2015, 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago, when things changed? Maybe we could start at the beginning and the motivation for the trust angle of your article.
Yes, thank you, Lindsay. As you well know, for decades, South Africans have been smuggling money out of South Africa for various reasons, out of SA, go and hide it. And, you know, the foreign exchange rules were partially relaxed in 1998 and gradually until about 2015. And in 2015 was the big bang, and individuals, tax compliant individuals, could take up to 11 million rand per person per year. Now, that announcement, 2015, came as a surprise. There were all kinds of rumors that it was allowing the ANC guys to smuggle their money out. But be that as it may, it opened the gates and it has changed the investment world in South Africa in a substantial way. First of all, the uptake offshore investments was far greater than was expected by the local investment community. They were still trying to pretend that everything is fine. South Africans don't need to take their money offshore, but obviously investors didn't listen to that because the money has been flowing out tremendously, and some estimates put it at 1.5 trillion rand that has left the country legally via the normal channels, with the end result that the offshore asset base of South Africa and South Africans has increased substantially. Now, that's only half of the story. Now, people took money offshore for a variety of reasons. One is to de-risk, wanted to spread their risk, they wanted to diversify. But finally, and the last point is, people just simply wanted some of their money to be somewhere else but in South Africa. So you wanted to get your money offshore, and a lot of people have done that successfully.
Which is a good thing, of course, isn't it? Because it's apart from anything else, it's the diversification of a portfolio. In this case, geographically.
Well, it ticks all the boxes. It ticks all the boxes from why you should take money out, because you can get into the Magnificent Seven companies which are not available in South Africa. You can buy technology. You can buy Japanese companies or whatever. There simply is no argument against it. But at the bottom line, and unspoken in many cases, people simply wanted their money out of their hands, out of the control of the ANC. Now, having said that, yes, you've moved your 10 million offshore 10 years ago. That's now worth a 50 or a 60 or even 100 million, depending on your returns. But the gist of the article is your money is still effectively in South Africa because it falls under the South African tax exchange, and your estate, more importantly, will be taxed according to the estate duty taxes that kick in. So that's the big mistake a lot of people didn't rectify. They should, some certainly have, but a lot of people took money offshore, yes, made money, yes, but the money is still in their estate. My recommendation is get that out of your hands as soon as possible and into a trust, in this case a Mauritian trust. And your children and grandchildren will one day thank you immensely for that.
Okay, let me go back a bit and digest what you've just said. A lot of people who are tax compliant and ticked all the treasury boxes got their money out legally to the tune of 1.5 trillion rand, according to some estimates. That's fantastic. But they rushed out without thinking of the actual planning of their estate. And what you're saying is that a trust can help in in a tax compliant way. And is it too late for those people that already got their money out, Magnus?
No, it's not. I mean, yes, there will be a price to pay now because your assets have increased in rand terms. So any capital gains tax will still remain. But the longer that money lies in a trust, the better for your estate, because any future capital growth happens in the trust and not in the name and not in your name. So this advice will save your estate, depending on various assumptions, can be tens of millions of rands. It could be hundreds of millions of rands, depending on the period of time and the amount invested. But by doing this, moving it out of your hands, you're saving a lot of estate duty, capital gains taxes, and also executors' fees. And it's also one way to ensure that the wealth that you have created will remain in the hands or the control of the family, as opposed to SARS every now and then taking 20-25% as money changes from one person to the other. So it's a very good piece of advice, and it finally cuts the link to the ANC or whatever the ANC has in mind with your money in the future.
When I came to South Africa in 1988, it was very fashionable to have a trust. Anyone had a trust, whether they were just relatively well off or super wealthy. You had to set up a trust. And then gradually over the years, loopholes were closed, and trusts in South Africa, as far as I knew, were becoming terribly unfashionable and didn't give you the advantages that they did previously. What's the difference now? What is the difference between a trust from those days and a Mauritian trust that you're advocating?
Well, you have to differentiate between a South African trust and a Mauritian trust. SARS can change the tax laws as far as Mauritian trusts, South African trusts are concerned, overnight, and which they have been doing. They've gone for South African trusts. It's far more difficult to change the tax structure of an offshore trust simply because they have no jurisdiction in those countries. There are still ways that they're trying to make it more difficult for people to put money into the trust, but there is no question that the advantages far outweigh the disadvantages. I'll give you one example. Until a couple of years ago, any donation that you made to your offshore trust was tax-free. So there would be a loan account. The loan account is recorded in your estate, but the loan didn't accumulate any interest. They then introduced what they call Section 7C. There now has to be an interest factor, but it can be reduced significantly by choosing a currency where the interest rates are very low. For instance, a yen loan or a euro loan. So, but what happens in the trust thereafter is out of the hands of the ANC. They cannot change the tax rates. They cannot get hold of those assets because it's controlled by a different jurisdiction. Now, I'd like to say one thing. Most of the big wealth in South Africa, I'm talking about the Ruperts and the Oppenheimers and the Gores, their money has been in trusts from virtually day one. And these people have effectively shielded themselves from massive, massive potential taxes in the future. In fact, the trust is the only way to prevent the fortune that your grandfather created in his lifetime from being broken up, not once, but several times during two or three lives, with the result that there's very little left of the fortune that was initially created. So therefore, if we're talking about intergenerational wealth, the only medium, in my opinion, is an offshore trust. And in this case, the Mauritian Trust, which we do now at Brenthurst. We own the company. They speak to people that they know, and there's a level of trust. But all big fortunes, most big fortunes in the world, Lindsay, I can tell you, are housed somewhere you know, trust offshore somewhere. So whenever the SA media talks about, you know, Johan Rupert is this worth this much or that much, or the Oppenheimer's, not exactly true. The wealth is owned and controlled via the trust, which they then effectively control. But they don't have that amount of money in their balance sheet or in their bank account or in their names, because that would be extremely stupid to do. It would lead to the breakup of very, very big companies every time someone dies. So that's why the trust is such a perfect vehicle. And more we are just telling our clients, get it into a trust once they see the benefits.
At what wealth point do you need a trust that you've just described? I mean, can it be 10 million rand? Can it be more? Can it be less? Please tell us.
It can be less. Remember, there's a certain base cost to register a trust. That's about $2,000 to $3,000, and then you've got annual fees, $2,000 to $3,000, depending on complexity. But you need to look at the longer term picture. How much money is going to go into that trust? What will that money be worth one day, 10, 20, or 30 years from now? And then you do the sums. And in most cases, it makes sense to bite the bullet, pay the fees, and get that money out of your name into the name of the trust that you can still control via your letter of wishes while you're still alive.
And just to reiterate, you didn't only advise people to set up a trust, you actually bought a trust company. And I'll read you this. Several years ago, it became clear that Brenthurst needs to set up or acquire its own trust company in Mauritius, where we already had an asset management license, which is called Brent Wealth. Now, you set up Brent Consultor. So what do you do? Do you go via your local Brenthurst Wealth investment professional, and they will put you in touch with Brent Consultor? How does it work?
Well, we have people inside of Brenthurst already who are qualified to assist with the setting up of the trust, but ultimately lands up in Mauritius, where Brent Consultor will then take over the management of the trust. And there we have South African people on the board, South African people managing the company together with the Mauritian people. So there's an element of safety and familiarity that sometimes is a problem for people. So they're very comfortable now knowing that Brenthurst is on both sides of the deal.
Magnus, thank you very much for that excellent advice. Magnus Haystack is a director and founder of Brenthurst Wealth, and that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.